magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday. It's November 3rd, 2014. Well, Nancy, for the last half hour or so, we were sitting at the dining room table with three of the members that are out working in my yard from Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, and we were telling some stories, and I think I kind of dominated the time sharing how God raised up this radio ministry. I think Moses or Daniel or Norman were asking how did the radio station start and get birthed, and how did I meet Holly, and so we got into some storytelling. And then I think Holly had said, well, Nancy, how did you get to be the director of aftercare at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, which led you to share not only that story, but some of the transformational work that God has done in your life over the years. So thank you, though you're a little reluctant to come down to the studio and you're like, what? You're going to put me on the air? Yes. And I think you have a God-honoring story to share. I appreciate the transformational work that God has done in your life. You've seen some miraculous provisions, even at a point when you were pregnant and just out of college or just out of training, and how would God provide for you and your child and the circumstances being new in this position to maybe take on this high level full-time position. So with all that said, take us through a little of your journey and then how you got to be the director of aftercare at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry.
Okay, well, I had a job at the Champaign Opportunity House, and for some reason God has always put on my heart just to be a servant, and I've always wanted to work with people a little out of the ordinary, I guess. And I often tell people it's not because I'm any better than anyone else. God has just put that in my heart. I've always wanted to work with people who have special needs or have addiction problems, etc. So I worked at the Champaign Opportunity House, and it was with the developmentally handicapped, and unfortunately was forced to close down. And because it was government funded, I had an opportunity to go to school, but I also needed to look for another job. God had placed two nurses there, and they had worked at Prairie Center in detox on Hill Street in Champaign. And so they really encouraged me to get a CNA and to go there and to work in detox. So I was the youngest person at Prairie Center at that time working in detox. And that really opened up my world to a whole new stream of people that I had never, just never knew.
And these are people in need, people that needed the services.
Right. Very serious people in need, people desperate coming off the street. Some really wanted treatment and some just simply wanted to have a bed for the night. So God really stirred my heart at that time. And throughout the years, I just kept saying, I really want to continue to work with that type of population. So throughout the years, I ended up going back to college. And I remember telling a nurse on Hill Street at Prairie Center that I really want to go to college and I want to come back and work in this line of work. And she encouraged me to do so. So it was on my heart to become a counselor, so I ended up going to Eastern Illinois University to get my master's in community counseling. And my internship, I went back to Prairie Center, not on Hill Street in the detox, but I went to Prairie Center in Urbana, which is the outpatient. At that time, I was pregnant, and I was very concerned about how my finances were going to drop doing an internship that was not a paid internship. And God really revealed himself at that time that a lady that was working, running a program that involved clients that were mainly female, involved with the DCFS system, she really just walked out. She got burnout. And God told me to ask my supervisor for that position.
And here you're a rookie, you're young, you're pregnant.
Yes.
You're feeling stretched like, is this God? Because this is not making sense.
Yes. When I had first got the internship, I ended up actually two semesters. I did what was called pre-practicum and my internship there. I did not let anyone know that I was pregnant out of fear that I wouldn't get in. So now God is asking me to, you know, ask for a permanent paid position. And I thought, oh, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have to go on maternity leave. There's no way that anyone's going to hire me. I'm just, you know, a rookie. But God put a special person in my life wife, which was a Christian, and I'm still in contact with her today, and her name is Sue Whitman, and she decided that, yes, she was going to give me a chance. So I got a paid position there, and that was really my start in having a big heart for people with addiction problems. From then, in 2008, there were 12 different people from the Three Prairie Centers in a massive layoff, and I was one of the supervisors that was unfortunately laid off, and that's when I opened up my own private practice just because I couldn't find a job and kind of did that on the side, and I still continue to do that on the side today. After Prairie Center, I ended up going to Carl Addiction Recovery Center, where I was the head of family and youth counseling. And I was still doing my private practice on the side, and at that time I really wanted to start the private practice by just serving the community. So I ended up counseling people at Restoration Urban Ministries and then teaching a class there. And I also approached Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, knowing about them as my parents had went to their banquets for many, many years. And Jesse Mathis, had actually attended quite a few times and preached at the church where I got saved, which was when I was in about 7th or 8th grade, and that was at Living Word Fellowship.
Out in St. Joe.
Correct. At that time, they were actually in the old Ogden High School because they didn't have their own building. And then later they moved to St. Joe and now, of course, have the dome-shaped building by the interstate.
Yeah, Pastor Larry Millis. And isn't his son also preaching?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. My dad was actually on the head of the building committee, and he was one of the people that actually picked that unusual dome shape of the building. So Pam and Larry Millis, it's great because I still see them at Jesus the Way banquets, and I appreciate them very much. They had a big impact on my life and really having a joy for God. So anyway, I approached Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. That was probably a good 4+ years ago. And I said, I'm just here to serve. What is there to do? And they allowed me graciously to come in and do a group. And thereafter, I started coming in to just do some consulting on how they could get their Department of Human Services license to step up to a recovery home. Thereafter, I was continuing to work at Carl Addiction Recovery Center and really felt that God was leading me more and more to the ministry. I really loved my volunteer work there, and I just felt that God really had a purpose for me there. And an opportunity opened up for the director position, the director of aftercare, which is the on-site ministry. And I did the interview and ended up leaving Carl to go where I felt that God was leading me.
Yeah, talk a little about God leading, because for our listener, you know, we have people all over the continuum, those that are senior saints that have followed God for many years and literally would say they hear his voice, even though they don't hear it audibly. They feel impressions, or as they're seeking counsel or clarity, they open up the scriptures and there's an affirming message that they're on the right course. But how are you hearing God? And it seems like God's given you that gift of serving, of helping. So you could maybe say, you know, it just felt like a good fit. But what do you mean like he was leading?
I think I had a heart for people with addictions, and I started realizing that the men that I was serving at Jesus is the Way, that this people that are in prison often have some of the very same quick fix mentality as a quick fix of getting high, prison mentality, a quick fix to get quick money, sell drugs, that sort of thing. So I just started having more and more of an interest and really falling in love with the staff there and the clients there. Never did I think that I would work with male people out of prison. That was never something that I thought I was going to do. I just really
wasn't
felt more and
more. Wasn't in your bucket list?
No, it was not in my bucket list at all. But I just enjoyed it so much, and there was such freedom there to talk about God. You know, when you work for, you know, another place like Prairie Center and Carl, and I think both of those were great experiences and professional places, it is limited how much you can talk about God. I mean, if someone opens that up, you opened up the door, I can certainly share with you, and that's your spiritual experience. However, at Jesus is the Way, I could say Jesus. I didn't have to say higher power of your choice. And there was just such freedom in that. And the joy just kept on rising in my heart, and I just kept on thinking about it more and more. I guess I found my thoughts were more at the ministry than at my job at that time. However, it was a scary leap, so I kept on praying about it and asked my dad about it, because my dad is a very good Christian man. And he said, You know, Carl's very stable, Nancy. And at the time, I was in a broken marriage and going through a divorce and had two children. And he said, you really need to think about this long and hard and pray and pray. And finally, one day, I just came to my father and I said, you know, my choice is really made up. I'm going to go. I'm going to talk to the board. I'm going to go through the interview process. And if God opens that door, Dad, I'm stepping through it, because my heart is just pulling towards that ministry, even though it's no benefits, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, working for a nonprofit, the same. I mean, I know what
different.
It's like. You're hoping that the banquet will raise so many funds that there'll be ongoing support from monthly givers. And I know I've interviewed, and our listeners have heard, Dennis Daniels' testimony. I had him and Bill Scott in the last few years, and he sings praises over you all the time, and he appreciates the credentials that you have and the background experience. And I think one of the things he's brought to the Jesus is the Way prison ministry is capable, accomplished. I can't remember the wording he uses, but you have the credentials, and that opens up doors with the state and the prison systems, because we have people that are skilled and degreed in certain areas. And I think that certification process are some of the things I know he said that he appreciates that about the staff that he works with. And he's appreciated you. And I know the last few years I've gotten to participate in some of the banquets and appreciate all the work you do, and appreciate the work that the three men are doing in the yard even now, helping with the nature trail. And you came out with the guys earlier today, and I brought you into the studio. So in case you're just tuning in, I have Nancy Newcomb in the studio. She's the director of aftercare at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, and they graciously accepted my offer to treat them to lunch and to have them come out and work on the nature trail and to help, because we're having a couple youth groups out here enjoying the area. And Nancy, you had mentioned about coming to Christ. And again, because of the listeners range from the skeptic or maybe the hardcore atheist to the senior saint, does it mean when you come to Christ, everything is just easy and you never sin and everything works out perfectly?
Certainly not. Jesus never promised that. He only promised that, you know, he would be with us. And there's certain times that I think sorrow or grief I've certainly just brought upon myself based on my bad choices. There was definitely a time in my life that, as I mentioned, I'm now married, but was a divorce from my first husband. And it was a very rocky relationship. I made a lot of bad choices during that time. And God just continued to bring people in my life and call me. Despite my sin, God called me and called me and called me. And a good example of that is when I was going to the Vineyard, I believe at that time it was Alpha. And then later started going to a small group. And there was someone that was going to the U of I, and she lived close to me. And at that time, I was very codependent. My husband was an active alcoholic, and I was very codependent. I didn't know that terminology at that time, but I was. So basically, I could not say no. So God used that to my advantage, actually, to get closer to him. And someone came up to me after this Bible study one time and said, you know, there's this girl that goes to the U of I. She's older than you, and she lives pretty close to you. Do you think that you could give her a ride? And I thought, oh no, that means I'm going to have to go to this Bible study every single time. And oh my, but I couldn't say no. I was very codependent. I was like, okay, sure.
How old are you at this time?
Boy, I was probably 25, okay. Probably 26. So I met this great lady, and I was very intimidated by her because she was a prayer warrior. She would lay hands on people. She would, you know, have visions. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this person is way over my head, Christian wise. She's way over my head, way out of my league. And we became very good friends. And then she started saying, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we came earlier so that we could pray before the Bible study started? And I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to come early, and I don't even know how to pray in front of her, and she's such a prayer warrior, and I can't believe this. Now I have to go every week, and I have to go earlier. And God just really blessed me with her, and she was just such a seasoned Christian, and she ended up graduating, and she moved away. I still kind of follow her a little bit on Facebook, but it was a great kind of a mentorship relationship that I really needed, someone like that in my life. And despite any bad choices that I was making at that time, I can remember bringing her home at night, and we would sit after the Bible study. We would sit and we would probably talk for about a half an hour with my car running. And sometimes I would just be crying and I would be talking about the same situation that I was in, that I was choosing to be in. And she just blessed me so much by having an open ear and just sitting with me and praying with me and accepting me where I was at. That's helped me a lot today as a counselor. When I first started counseling, I wanted people to be way over here on step four and they were on step one. And I thought, oh, you're supposed to go this way. And I really had to learn my first year is to really pull back those reins and accept people where they are at. And the same way goes with Christian walk or counseling someone.
Yeah, it's kind of a word for all of us today, showing and extending that grace. Don't look at the sin or the behavior or the poor choices. Love on them. Be a listening ear. Obviously, you want to speak the truth, but you can do it in tenderness. And sometimes you don't have to speak the literal truth right to the person. You just empathize and then maybe be praying up that whole time, letting them vent or share or open up. And you mentioned a word about boundaries. Talk a little about boundaries.
Well, as a counselor, we're taught to have very strong boundaries, and especially in addiction, we're also taught a lot about boundaries, because typically an addict will have someone that's an enabler or codependent that allows them continue on their path of destruction. And at some point, you have to have a strong backbone and say, I love you very much, but your choices are your choices of how you're going to run your life. And I will no longer partner with you on your path of destruction. I won't lie to your employer and not tell them that you're hungover from the night before. I won't allow you to borrow money when I know that you're just going to spend it on drugs, that sort of thing. And so boundaries helps me a lot, being a female working with a house of males at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, certainly.
And I think during our discussion prior to bringing you down into the studio, and I won't say that you were reluctant, but you weren't anticipating this, and I kind of sprung it on you. But I know even our table discussion, the guys kind of lit up when you mentioned boundaries, because boundaries are good things. And oftentimes we want great boundaries because it provides parameters or a safety net. So boundaries are good things.
Absolutely. I think I had mentioned at one of the Jesus is the Way banquets, I think a couple of years ago, that there was a study that I read about once that was about children playing within a fence or without a fence. And the children that played without a fenced yard, they would often look back to see if their parents were in the window. They wouldn't go all the way to the edge of the yard. They would stay more in the middle. So their play was not as playful. Children, rather, that would be playing in a fenced yard, they would not be looking back at their parents all the time to see if they were in the window, because they felt more secure in a fenced yard. These children also went all the way to the very edge of the fence, the edge of the yard, and their play was much better. So I use that with when I'm teaching with the men about boundaries a lot, is because a lot of times we ride on the fence as a Christian, one foot in that world, one foot in that world. But if we'll come behind God's fence, it's about freedom. And there's so much more freedom within the structure and the boundaries that God sets for us.
Well, I see we only have a couple minutes left. And when did Jerry enter the picture? Because we have to close out with a good love story.
It's a great love story. Jerry is certainly a love of my life, and God put him in my life after my divorce and with two kids, and my son is 21 now, and my daughter is 9. I really didn't know if I would ever have another marriage, and I was at a campground called Timber Meadows Campground with my sister, and that's where I eventually met Jerry. He was bringing wood and hauling wood, so to speak.
A man's man.
He's a man's man. You better believe it. So he's a farmer, and he is also has his own tree cutting business, and so definitely a man's man. And
where's he today with all my trees? I should have him out here, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Give him my phone number. We need to talk.
He's in the combine, I'm sure, today. He got up about 5 o'clock and was back out there for harvest. But Jerry and I just kind of met and talked, and it was very casual at the campground. Eventually, he ended up Facebooking me. I didn't really know if I wanted to go any further, but I accepted a date, and I remember we went out on a date, went to a movie, went to a restaurant, came back, and then he left and he drove back. I was living in St. Joseph at the time, and he lives in Cisna Park, and so he left, and he never gave me a kiss, and I thought the date really well. I felt this very strong connection with him, and I was like, wow, this is really great. What's going on here? I didn't expect this. And so later I had called him when he got back home.
Wait, you didn't expect, because you kind of expected that he'd kiss you, right? Because everything went well, and then he didn't. So you're thinking, what's up with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so I thought, wow, what went wrong? Because I thought it was a fantastic date. And so later he called me, and I had mentioned, I just was kind of wondering, did you think that the date went well? And he was like, oh, yeah, it's really great and everything. And I said, well, because you didn't even kiss me. And he goes, well, you had told me at the campground that you didn't know where you're at, and if you ever did get into a relationship, it would be very slow and all of this. And he goes, so I was, you know, I wasn't going to kiss you.
Holding back.
And he goes, if you want a kiss, he goes, I'll come and give you a kiss. And I said, no, you're not going to get, you live an hour away. You're not going to drive back at night and give me a kiss. And he goes, I'm telling you, I'll be there in an hour at your door. And sure enough, an hour later, he drove up, and a kiss he certainly did get. And that was probably the first day that I think I started to fall in love with Jerry.
Well, thank you, God, for Jerry. Thank you, God, for the provision. Thank you, God, for the unique way he's guided and led and provided for you, and the redemptive plan that he's working in and through your life to relate to the Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry guys, to your various clients that you serve, and just the kingdom work that he'll lay out for you in the days ahead. So thank you, Nancy, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And I think tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to have Moses Spears, who is right now working out in the yard on the nature trail. So I'm excited to hear some of his story and the unique way that God is even working in his life through you, through Dennis, through Edith, through the great staff there at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.